Hey, everybody, you are listening to My Manic Midday Monologue. My name is Ross, and thanks for clicking play or for downloading this podcast. I really appreciate it. Every week, I find about 15 or 20 minutes in the middle of my workday to pontificate upon the previous week's artistic endeavors and adventures as a creative person in Central Phoenix, and I plug anything I have coming up during the current week. It's that perfect pivotal moment in time to look back and to look forward. And when I look back, I see PIX, the Phoenix Independent Comic Show. We pulled this thing off on Saturday, March 5th, at Hub, a post-modern furniture shop and creative space in the heart of the Melrose District on 7th Avenue between Indian School and Camelback. Look, I'm still rattling off the sales pitch as if the event is going to happen, but no, it happened during the 7th Avenue Art Walk. And when you plan something like this, it's always a gamble. It was new. The location is not one that caters to a traditional comic book reading audience. It was during the 7th Avenue Art Walk, which attracts thousands of people, so expectations are high. But fact of the matter is, we only attracted a few dozen people to stroll through the Hub back patio. And you know, any day spent trying to sell one's mini comics or comics related art is a day better spent than doing something else. So I certainly can't complain. Did I want to see more people stroll through our little art show? Absolutely. Is it going to stop me from trying to do another one? Absolutely not. I think the concept behind PIX, Phoenix Independent Comic Show, is a good one because it presents a solution, or it's my attempt at a solution to problems I see in the current contemporary Comic-Con scene. Comic-Cons are first and foremost married to convention centers. You know, if you take a Comic-Con and you pick it up out of the convention center and you drop it anywhere else, like outside, it's a swap meet. It's a comic book themed, glorified garage sale where artists are sitting at tables selling stuff that they've either made or that they've collected and are now reselling secondhand. I mean, that's what a vendor is, especially one with a golden, silver, or bronze age collection of back issues. It's a yard sale, plopped into a convention center, and one that's marketed toward the hardcore comic book fan or families looking to bring their kids out for a fun afternoon at something different. Cosplayers come dressed up, attracting an audience, and themselves being an audience attracted to such a scene. So it's very niche. It's very targeted. The scene is obviously growing, but those of us that have exhibited at Comic-Cons for years now kind of experience the plateau, you know, because the con itself is the show. I've talked about this before. People, you know, drop their attendance fee, $20 to $50, depending on the show and the number of days they attend. They pay for parking. They buy lunch, maybe dinner, if they make it a day, or heck, even a weekend if they're traveling. You got to pay for gas or travel expenses, hotel room costs. So by the time they're in the show is enough to see. There really is no obligation or expectation at this point that the average attendee is going to spend any more money. And as an artist, I am growing to understand that, that what I'm doing at a Comic-Con isn't so much pushing my stuff into the marketplace as I'm marketing my stuff to the marketplace in the hopes that when somebody's at home on their computer going through their free swag or wondering what it was that they saw at Comic-Con, well, they'll end up at my website and maybe purchase a couple of mini comics. That website, by the way, is AmazingArizonaComics.com, but more about that later. So, I see that as a problem for artists utilizing the Comic-Con scene to break into said scene or to at least reach a new audience. That audience might not be reading and might not be presenting the immediate satisfaction we sellers, we merchants, want. So, okay, let's strip away those walls. Let's pick Artist's Alley up at least out of Comic-Con, pick it up, drop it into another less likely venue to reach a different audience, one that isn't jaded by the persistence of Comic-Con, the consistency of Comic-Con, the fact that, at least here in the Phoenix area, you can go to three major conventions a year, Amazing Arizona Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con, and then down in Tucson in November. We're not a huge sprawl of a city size-wise, you know, you can get from one end of town to the other. You can get down to Tucson in an hour and a half. So, you know, to have three Comic-Cons, does it strip away, and I'm not even, let's say four, Phoenix Comic-Cons Fan Fest, whatever the future of that show is. So we're talking about four potentially large comic book conventions in the Phoenix metropolitan area. If you go to one, you've seen them all. I mean, the vendors cycle out not very often. In other words, I've exhibited at all four. So if you go to all four, you're going to see me four times. That probably means you're not going to buy from me all four times, even if I have new stuff out. That's just a realistic expectation that I have of attendees. Swing by, say hi, absolutely. Get a sketch, please. I'm offering that for free, in part to help pass my time. But I certainly do not expect you as an attendee to buy every mini comic I have on the table. Is it my hope? Absolutely. But I'll tell you, as a consumer of this stuff as well, I don't always think to seek out those artists that I met and loved at the last show. It's not something I just always do in the hopes of seeing something new. So, again, pick up the Artist's Alley, drop it in an unlikely location where new readers might actually exist, folks that wouldn't think about picking up a comic. Isn't that what we hardcore comic book creators wish for? To literally introduce someone to the medium? Not even so much our work, but to literally create a new comic book reader with our stuff. So that's why I target venues like Hub. It's a furniture store, but there's a beautiful back patio. The proprietor, Cynthia Black, is supportive of all kinds of arts, from poetry, as she hosts poetry readings there on third Fridays, to these crazy comic book projects I've concocted. She's hosted at least four of them now, picks included, and so my sincere gratitude and thanks to her. And it was a valiant attempt for all parties involved. My great thanks also to the other exhibitors, the fellow artists that came out to set up their stuff and literally gamble their Saturday on whether or not people would come check us out. And we were in competition with some other comic book shops, you know, streaming a webinar or something as Jim Lee and Dan DiDio murdered your childhood on TV. I don't know what was going on there, pitching the latest slate of titles, crossovers, reboots, etc. Again, just the same old thing. So I'm glad I took a chance on trying something new and seeing my friends set up with their comics and comics-related art and merchandise. It gave me the juice to want to do it again. So PIX will return, everybody. The Phoenix Independent Comic Show will rear its head again, probably before summer. Because why not? That's another thing about Comic-Cons. You know, they're so married to a schedule. They happen once a year, and then when they decide to do another show like Phoenix Comic-Con has, they have to rebrand it as Fan Fest and essentially start from scratch. No, it's the Phoenix Independent Comic Show. It's going to happen whenever I want, wherever I want. Why should it be married to any one time or place? Well, because you're going to lose the consistency of branding, Russ. No, that's exactly what I want to do, is shatter the concept of branding when it comes to a comic show, because the show itself isn't the thing. The comics are, man. Gosh, I'm fired up on this midday. But that's how passionate I am about the topic of comics and the potential of acquiring new readers so we artists can tell our stories. That's what it's all about. What do I have coming up this week? It's Phoenix Tonight, everybody, the Valley's live, local, late-night talk show. I'm slapping this thing together, Johnny Carson style. I'm going to have three guests that I'll sit down with on the couch. I'll be behind a desk. They'll be on a couch. And yeah, we're going to have like a Johnny Carson-style late-night talk show here in Phoenix. It's happened before at Trunk Space. It was called Grand Avenue Live, and it had a bevy of hosts, just as the actual Tonight Show did. I hope that the Valley will settle on me and Phoenix Tonight as its token local live late-night talk show at Space 55. It's happening this Saturday, March 12th at 10:30 p.m. My guests will include local musician and Onus Records producer Serene Dominic, the organizers of our Phoenix Simpsons Trivia Night, JRC and Diana Welsh, and my first guest will be Philip Haldeman. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He's an actor and a local writer and director. He was a star in the world's best worst movie, The Room. He also produces a local podcast called On the Grid about notables in Phoenix, creative types, big names that are making the scene happen here in Phoenix. And he's joining me on the couch for Phoenix Tonight, so I am super excited about that. I have enough creative friends to schedule enough of these shows well into the wintertime, into the end of the year. But I'm trying to get beyond my social circle. I'm trying to reach out of my comfort zone to meet new people. And Philip is one of these guys. I don't know him personally, so I'm excited for a chance to talk to him in front of people about his passions, his projects, plug his upcoming work. And it's going to be a great time. So please, if you're in the Valley, come to Space 55 Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. Tickets are only $5 at the door. They go to the theater, supporting a local creative space, a local theater, a small place. They're looking to buy some new lights, because I'll tell you from firsthand experience, those lights they have there are hot. So they want to get some of those new, cutting-edge, cool-running lights, something that's probably eco-friendly, too. And so by coming to the theater and supporting it with your presence, that will help their cause. And we got some comedy lined up, too, man. I'm working up some great bits, some jokes for the monologue. I'm really proud of how this is coming together. So I hope you'll join us. And that's really the entire point of this podcast, was just to reflect on picks and to plug Phoenix Tonight. I really don't have a lot of other things to talk about. I mean, the presidential debate is in full swing, but, you know, all of my thoughts on that, I'm kind of satirizing via joke for Phoenix Tonight. I will say again that you can go to AmazingArizonaComics.com and check out my mini-comic, Amazing Arizona Comics. The current issue, number 20, is out. It features Cupid on Valentine's Day, trying to reassert or usurp control over February 14th, because that's also Arizona's statehood birthday. So he feels jealous and in constant competition of our beloved Grand Canyon state. And Speed Cameron, a local superhero, and Santa Claus step up to stop Cupid's sabotage of Arizona in the news. So if that sounds interesting to you, it's got a lot of current events referenced throughout the story. It's a general superhero adventure tale. So, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing with just a little bit of political satire, a little sarcasm, and then I hope you'll check it out. AmazingArizonaComics.com. The cover drawn by my buddy, The Janimal. And you can check out his site at TheJanimal.com. That's animal with a J, TheJanimal.com. That's it, everybody. I'm investing a lot of creative energy into Phoenix Tonight and Amazing Arizona Comics number 21, due out at the end of this month, March. So keep your eyes opened for those things. You could follow Phoenix Tonight on Instagram, at Phoenix Tonight. You could follow me at Amazing AZ Comics. And that's where you'll see updates for all of this stuff. Hopefully next time I record one of these podcasts, I'll have something more substantial to talk about. You know, the last time I put one of these up, it featured my interview with the representatives from the Satanic Temple out of Tucson. And I really appreciate everybody that listened to that. I think it was a cool opportunity to hear their story long form. You know, I'll just say that Philip's podcast, On the Grid, also features a current interview with Stu and Michelle from the Satanic Temple in Tucson. So please seek that out as well. OnTheGridPHX.com, I think, is their website. Gosh, I hope I'm getting that right. So before I plug something else, let me just get out of here and thank you again for listening to my manic midday monologue.